Well, being our Christmas season of services, where we don't have children's ministry, we're doing things a little bit differently, as you notice. We've set up more, so it's more friendly for kids. We don't have as many here today as we usually have, but that doesn't matter. I want all the kids who are here to come and join me down the front for a few minutes, and we're going to do something that, instead of having a Bible reading about the Christmas story, we're going to just check out how much together we actually really know about the Christmas story. And I've got a quiz, and I've got some prizes for those who get right answers. And these are special prizes. Cool, yep. Anyone who wants to, young at heart. These are special prizes. You know, these prizes are older than Joseph and Mary, but they're younger than Jesus. I wonder if anyone knows what they are. We'll soon find out when someone gets one of the questions right. You guys going to come and join in? Because I think you would like these prizes. They're pretty special. I think when you see what it is, you might want to come and join in. And you can't eat them. Oh! Now, all the answers to this quiz have got to be what's in the Bible, not what somebody might have told you about Christmas. So, the first question, and you've got to think very carefully about what you know about the Christmas story, okay? Tell me whether this is true or false. And you've got to put your hand up, so I choose the person who's got their hand up. Mary and Joseph went to Bethlehem for the birth of Jesus because they were following a star. Is that true or false? Hang on, don't shout out. False. They didn't follow a star at all, did they? No. So you can put your hand in there and choose one. What is it? It's a dinosaur. Whoa. Does that give you the answer to the question I said before? All right. They're older than Joseph and Mary, but younger than Jesus. Do you know why they're younger than Jesus? This isn't one of the questions, but it can be a question. Why is a dinosaur younger than Jesus? Pretty close, Elijah. Because Jesus was born in heaven first. You get another one. You're going to get a whole collection of dinosaurs, even though it wasn't one of the questions. Okay, so Jesus has been around forever and ever and ever, but Joseph and Mary came later. That's a bit of a mystery, isn't it, when they were his parents, sort of. So, next question, in what city was Jesus born? Elijah? Good boy. Here you go, mate. Take your pick. This one. Whoa. Choose which one you want. That's it. Yep, what did you get? Tyrannosaurus, was it? Oh, cool. Okay, question. The next question, why were Joseph and Mary not able to stay in the inn? JJ, do you know? Why couldn't they stay in the inn, do you know? He's got his hand up there. It was full. Good boy. There was no room, so you can choose out of the special toy bag. Oh, well, he'll just have to take his chances. Whoa, that's a cool one. Okay. After Jesus was born, where did Mary lie him down? No, hang on, you can't shout out. No, no. In a manger. Cool. Well, that's a scary looking one. Okay, true or false? Because they arrived late, Joseph ordered pizza delivery for their dinner. False. You're right. Because pizzas only got invented in 1889, and the first pizza was a margarita, and it was made for Queen Margarita by someone who made it out of the colours, white, red and green. So it was cheese, tomato and basil, I think. Italian queen, made for her. And after that, we've had pizzas. A little bit of history for you, David, there. You probably already knew that. First use of the word was in 997 in Latin. I read that off the pizza box last night, so. Touche. I knew I lost my place. What was the first reaction the shepherds had when the angel appeared to them in the fields? What was the first thing that happened? Yeah, they were frightened. They were scared stiff. Wouldn't you be scared stiff if suddenly an angel appeared? I think I would. Okay. Where did the angel tell the shepherds that they would find baby Jesus? In Bethlehem, that's right. But somewhere, you can have one for that answer. But somewhere special they had to look to find him. That's sort of right too, but the star came later in the story. It wasn't the shepherds that followed the star. So that, sorry, I can't give you that one, Elijah. Sorry. Wrong answer, Elijah. You'll have to try harder. In a stable. Somewhere special in a stable. In a manger, wrapped in the swaddling. You're going to have a whole dinosaur collection there. Okay, here's a hard one. The wise men came from which direction? North, south, east, or west? Sorry. Three choices left. Jamie? No, two left. No. What direction? East. He's got it. Process of elimination. Well done there. This one. Oh, that's a monstrous looking one. Okay, we're going to run out of dinosaurs. What did the wise men follow to find Jesus? What did the wise men follow to find? I think I saw this hand over here. A star. Okay. Now here's one you've got to listen to, all right? Which of these gifts was one that... Sorry. Which did these... Oh, getting myself all tongue-tied here. Which gift did the wise men not give to Jesus out of this list, all right? You listen carefully. No, hang on. One they didn't give him, all right? Not one that they did. Frankincense. Myrrh, Lego, gold. JJ, which one did they not give him? Lego. There you go, JJ.
Everybody knew that.
Yeah. I don't know. Last week when Donnie asked what do you want for Christmas, everyone said Lego. So I thought Jesus might have wanted Lego too. Okay. Why did Jesus' family run away from Bethlehem, flee from Bethlehem? Do you know why they fled from Bethlehem? This is a little harder. No, the three kings weren't scary. They came to bring presents. Something scary happened a bit later that made them run away. Put your hand up. That's pretty close, I reckon. I reckon that deserves a dinosaur. Do you know what the real reason was? Because an angel warned Joseph and the king was going to kill all of the little babies and Jesus would have been killed. So he ran away with his parents, or his parents took him away to protect him. Cool. Last question. And here, which country did they run away to? Does anybody know which?
Egypt.
Well done, mate. Now... the adults think they're getting away with this. But now I've got questions for the adults. So I need you guys to look around at the adults, right? Because I need some spotters. Who wants to be a spotter for me? One, two. Well, why don't you all just stand up here and look at the adults, because you've got to tell me who gets their hand up first. You've got to tell me who gets their hand up first to answer the question. And then if they do answer it right, I need someone to deliver them a candy cane. Now... if after the service your parents are happy with you eating candy canes, your parents can come up and get you one, okay? Or two. But your parents have to get them, not you. So Jamie, you'll have to get your mum to get it for you. Okay, this is the adults' quiz now. And they have to be only the answers that are in the Bible, not things that you've heard from other places. What did Joseph do when he first discovered Mary was pregnant? Did you see that hand? You reckon that's the one? That's the right answer. So who wants to take a candy cane up to John? Cool. Second question, who told Joseph the baby's name was to be Jesus? Oh, I saw a hand. Did you see that hand up there? The man with the beard and the dark glasses trying to look incognito. Okay, who would like to deliver a candy cane up there? Cool. Okay, let's see what the next question is. What was the name of the priest who was told that he wouldn't die until he saw a saviour? Sorry, can't answer twice. So tell me, whose hand do you see? Up the back? Bonnie? Mrs. Buzz? Let's see if she's got the right answer. Is that the right answer? That is. That's the right answer. So who's going to take a candy cane up? Go on, Elijah. Next question. What form of transport did Mary and Joseph use to get to Bethlehem? And I've got a hint for this one. It wasn't an Uber camel. What form of transport? Can you see a hand? Who is it in the front row? What the Bible says. Can you see any other hands? Up the back, Peter? Wrong answer. Can you see any other hands? Joseph? It doesn't say. He's right. It doesn't say. We only assume it was a donkey. There's nothing in there that says anything about how they got there at all. They might have walked. It might have been a donkey. We don't know. So the Bible doesn't tell us. So you're a bit tricky, so you've got to just be on your... Candy cane for Joseph. Who's going to give Joseph a candy cane? Okay, in the Old Testament, which prophet had the most to say about the birth of Jesus? Watch for hands. No, John, you can't get two. They didn't point you out, Effie. Put your hand up. Oh, there you go, Effie. Answer is Isaiah. That's correct. Effie gets a candy cane. Oh, okay, let's find some harder ones, eh? In the Gospel accounts announcing the birth of Jesus, how many times did an angel or angels appear? No, Bonnie's already got one. No, she gave it away. Okay, Barb, over here, I think, was the first one. Four. Could you tell us what they are? Yep. I'll pay that, but you've got the right answer, but three out of four. That's good enough for a candy cane. Can you tell me which was the wrong one and which... An angel didn't tell him to flee. Joseph had a dream. But what was the other one? Where in the story has another angel come to someone? Zechariah told him about the birth of John the Baptist, who was to foretell Jesus' coming. So correct, we'll give a candy cane for that answer. What is the meaning of the names Jesus and Emmanuel? Oh, John knows all the answers. I think he wrote the quiz. What does the name Jesus and Emmanuel mean? The meanings of the two names. Now, Angela's already got a candy cane, so she's ruled out. Look around. There's some hands waving up the back there. I think Madeline up the back. Which one's that? Yeah. And Jesus? Correct. So, candy cane for Madeline. What was the name of the innkeeper who wouldn't allow the pregnant Mary to lodge in his inn? What was the name of the innkeeper who wouldn't allow Mary to lodge in his inn? Malcolm. Dun, dun. Nice try, Donnie. You just want a candy cane. This is a trick question. Someone who hasn't answered. You know, I've got to have a hand up. Can't be shouting out. Wendy, it doesn't say. In fact, there's nothing about an innkeeper saying anything. It just says there was no room for them to lodge in. Nothing about an innkeeper at all. So, one for Wendy. Over there on the end there. What did the angels sing to the shepherds? Watching out for a hand.
Nobody knows.
He's caught on. And in fact, that is exactly partly the right answer, because there's nothing says the angels sang. Says they said something or something was proclaimed. It doesn't say they sang it. We just like to think they did. But what was it that they said or sang? Oh, Barb's got one. Sue. Yep. And peace to all men on whom his favour rests. Well done. One for Sue. So we're just hone-tuning our understanding of the Bible story here. While the shepherds went looking for Jesus, what was the sign that they were to look for? No, Peter's got one. What was the sign that the shepherds were to look for? What did the angel tell them to look for and they'd know that they'd found Jesus? Oh, I didn't see a hand there. Correct. Wrapped in swaddling clothes. So that's good enough. Cain for Dot over there. How many wise men or kings or magi came to see Jesus? Now, anyone who was here on Wednesday night can't answer that, because David gave us the answer. And David can't answer that either. Someone who hasn't answered. How many wise men or kings or magi came to visit Jesus? He's caught on really well here. Elijah, you deserve another dinosaur. If you're there on Wednesday night, David had the answer to that. David, do you want to tell us the answer? Nobody knows. We only assume three, because there were three present. More than likely there was quite a troop of them. Yeah, so it was more than one, we know that. It was a few of them. That's right. Yeah. And some would say it'd be hard pressed to find more than two of them anyway. I could say that, my wife would get in trouble for saying that. Herod asked the wise men to inform him where the baby Jesus was, and what does it say he wanted to do? He wanted to worship him. So, is that what he really wanted to do? No, he didn't. How old was Jesus when the wise men found him? Anything up to two, because Herod asked the wise men when the star appeared, and that's why we assume that he killed everyone under the age of two, because it could have gone back that far from when it first appeared. So anything up to that. We know he wasn't, despite what your usual manger scene is, we know they were not there in the manger. David, you can tell us why. Because you told us on Wednesday. Oh, okay. He's forgotten already. Yeah, he hasn't got his cheat notes tonight. This morning, I mean. This isn't a question, but I was just saying, the wise men are not at the manger because it says they came to a house. So that was obviously some time later. It could have been anything from a few days, a week, to 18 months. We don't know. It doesn't say. Okay, last two questions coming up. What animals does the Bible say were present at the birth of Jesus? What animals? Paul? Does not say anything about animals at all. We make a lot of assumptions and we see it all there. So a candy cane for Paul. There's one verse in Isaiah that sort of hints that there might be a donkey, but that's the only one. but there's nothing in the New Testament. Two of the four Gospels do not mention the birth story of Jesus. Which two are they? Last question. Someone who hasn't answered. Donnie. Is he right? He's right. Last candy cane for Donnie. And Donnie, are you doing the announcements? Yeah. Thanks, kids. Yeah, he's a champion. He knows it all.
Thank you.
Thanks, kids. You can go back down here if you like now and just hang out. Yeah, we're going to have a look at a little video of a song that is called A Baby Changes Everything. And that's pretty much our theme for today, A Baby Changes Everything. And then we're going to have a little bit of discussion after we watch the song. So just listen to the words and then we're going to discuss some of the stuff afterwards.
The Lord is with you. Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God.
I just want to stop and reflect for a moment what it was really like for Joseph, for Mary, and those that are actually involved in the Christmas story. It's easy just to sort of read it and just think only just about Jesus, God, you know, coming to us. What was it really like for Mary? For a start, the angel telling her this is going to be pretty scary. And she's already betrothed, which in those days was a very serious commitment that had been made, much more formal than engagement is today. It meant virtually they were married but not yet living together and sleeping together. And that would usually happen for a young girl when they were about 13 or 14 or even 12 or 13. So the maximum age that she probably was about 13 to 15 years old when this angel comes and tells her this. Well, a bit younger when he told her. And she's not married. And so, basically, she is now a pregnant, single mum at that point. She has to tell Joseph, who's betrothed to her, full of joy about the upcoming marriage, no doubt. He was probably a bit older than her. That would have been traditionally the case. He also now is faced with, what does he do? I mean, she's pregnant. He hasn't been with her. So what's going on, you know? And basically, she would have told him the story, and probably before the angel came to him, he would have had the same response as any of us would have had if someone came and said, I'm pregnant, and you got me pregnant. Well, not you got me pregnant. The assumption would be that, even if you said, well, God did it, and I'm sure there's plenty of girls use that excuse. But just get a feel for what it was like for Mary to be in that situation. How confusing, how uncertain it was, how amazing it was at one point, but another, how emotionally challenging it was to journey through this. And Joseph, of course, thinks he'll do the right thing and just quietly put her away somewhere so that it doesn't have to be a public embarrassment, but of course she will always be now an ostracized woman. And then the angel comes to Joseph and gives him reassurance. And at that point, he takes her into his home. In other words, that would be the proper marriage ceremony. And they would live together as husband and wife, except they did not have sexual relations during that period of time until after Jesus was born, it tells us. So it was going to be a very challenging time for them to work through all this emotion about how much this baby changed their lives. The dreams and hopes they might have had all changed, because there was always going to be a shadow over what has happened. We're not quite sure of the timing. We know that as soon as Mary found out that she was pregnant, she went and spent the first 3 months with Elizabeth. Now, did she tell Joseph before that or after that? We don't know. So she did go away for 3 months and probably took that time to just really process and work through what this all means and come to terms with it. So I want you to think about how babies do change everything. Those of you who have had babies, that is. How a baby changed your life. I think of our own personal situation. We've been married 5 years before we had Amy, and we were enjoying just being a couple together. We almost thought it would be nice not to have kids. We're so free to do all the things we want to do and everything else. And then one day we find out a baby's coming. And it changed everything. We had plans for things we were going to do. We were going to The year before, we'd ridden motorbikes from Melbourne to Darwin together and had a great trip, and we planned to go right across to Perth the next summer, and suddenly that plan was out the window. We weren't riding across the Nullarbor with a brand new baby on the back of a motorbike. Totally changed. And not only that, all the things that changed in our life, because now we were a family, not just a couple, who had the freedom to do whatever we liked. Our second daughter, Jasmine, is a single mum. She found out she was pregnant, and it changed all of her life dramatically, because there was no one there to be with her. And all of the dreams that she'd had changed. Her life has turned out great. And our granddaughter is amazing. But it changed everything about the way her life would be. It changed stuff for us in terms of the dreams we had for our kids, to be married and families and all of the rest. The baby changed everything. I wonder if some of you have got a story about how a baby really changed everything for you. And I'd like to... Do we have another mic that we can hand around, or do I just... Is that possible, quickly, or... I don't know. Just think about that for a moment. How did a baby change everything in your life? Maybe it wasn't a big change. Maybe it was. Interesting just to hear a couple of stories of how a baby changed everything for you. Anyone want to start that off with a loud voice or...
In 2005, God prepared me for something and I knew not what. But on the 14th of July 2005, our son Nathan, our second son, died instantly in an accident. And we had four sons and five grandsons and some blended granddaughters. And then a week after, and there was a lot of amazing stuff in there, but a week after we found out that Naomi and Cameron were having a little girl. And I truly felt in my spirit, God said she would be the rainbow. And that little rainbow came home at 9 months with her father for us to raise. And she celebrated 11th birthday last week. And it helped me over the time when my mother died too. So that baby brought great joy to us.
I was in hospital 2 months before our first child arrived. And when he was born, he was like a skinned rabbit, really, because he was so tiny. And 4 pound he was. And he was in a humidity crib for so many more weeks after we came home. And I think to me, it wasn't the 2 months. It was having a child and then going home without a child.
Mm.
You know, I look back now and it really wasn't that hard. But when you're young, you know, it's a road you haven't walked before. So I just want to praise and thank God for him and for the other two. And the joy that they're all walking with him today.
Thanks, Barb. Thanks for sharing those little stories. I just want to bring that in a sense of saying that for Joseph and Mary, it was a very personal, very emotional experience. It wasn't just some sort of thing that just happened. They were real people like you and me. They had feelings, doubts, uncertainties. I'm sure for Mary, giving birth in those situations was scary. The possibility of what could have happened with putting a baby into something that was so unhygienic, even in those days, was probably scary. And just wondering about what all this was going to mean. Then shepherds turning up and all that sort of stuff that was happening. It wasn't just a story. It was real people living a real life. And Jesus was a real baby with all the same frailties as a normal baby. And so I just want you to be thinking about that. We're going to sing a couple more songs and then have a short reflection on what it meant for Jesus to come.
Madeline's just going to come and bring us the reading this morning. Thank you, Madeline.
Very appropriately, the reading comes from the book of John this morning. We're in chapter 1, reading the first 18 verses. The Word became flesh. This is a really good one for those who don't believe that the Word of God and Jesus are one and the same. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him were all things made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' From the fullness of his grace we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known."
Thanks, Madeline. The great miracle of this baby that changes everything is that this baby was in fact an amazing, miraculous God-man, God and man in one. What we call the incarnation, God becoming incarnate in flesh. This is a great mystery, and theologians have wrestled their brains around trying to understand how this could actually be, how he could be truly God and truly man at the same time. But I don't want to get too fussed about working out exactly how that works, other than the fact that God chose to come and dwell amongst us. Come not in some just arrive and here I am, folks, I'm real, but be coming as a humble human baby. That's amazing. With all the vulnerabilities that a human has, Jesus was just like that. He had a mum and a dad. He grew up in a family. He had relatives. He did normal things, played, then he had a trade, we're told, made things, probably the same trade as his dad, so he worked alongside of his dad and a few others probably in that sort of stuff. He was just a normal human being in many respects, and yet he was God. It's just almost mind-blowing to think how that could be real. But why does God choose such a humble and ordinary way of doing it? Because he wanted to fully identify with us what it meant to be human. There's nothing that we go through that Jesus hasn't in some way experienced, apart from having babies, because he wasn't a woman and he didn't have kids. But in terms of our emotions and normal things, there's nothing that Jesus didn't experience in his life. But just this amazing thing that God chooses to come, not to in a royal palace, just to an ordinary young girl. Why choose Mary? Why choose anybody? Could have been anybody in a sense, but God chose Mary. Mary recognizes how blessed she is. And in a sense, she is a very, very blessed woman. But there was also agony that goes with that, because there was a purpose for Jesus' coming that was going to break Mary's heart. But that baby Jesus, changed everything. If we go back to Genesis, God walked in the garden with Adam and Eve, had intimate communication, relationship with them. What changed that? What changed that intimate relationship that God had with those who he created in his own image, us? sin and rebellion. God gave them rules and they broke the rules. And that caused them to be cast out of the garden, that place of intimate fellowship, walking with God, and no more did they have that personal connection with God. It had been broken. It needed to be fixed if we were to be able to have a proper intimate relationship with God. And the way to fix that was for God to come himself and do what was necessary to open up a way for us to come back into that intimacy of relationship. People say that it was necessary for Jesus to come, and so God had to send Jesus to fix the mess. But I also think there's a sense in which God did it because he wanted to be with us. He loved us and came to live amongst us because he created us to be in relationship with him. And the only way he could do that because of the sin separation was to come and be one of us, but then also fix that, change it so that that was open up again. And I think that verse that says, "For God so loved the world," is telling in that, in the sense that he came out of love, not out of just, I have to go down and fix a problem. He loves us. He loves every person he's ever created. He loves you. You hear that cliche, if you were the only person on this earth, Jesus would have come and died for you. But it's true. Jesus came for a purpose. And he came as an ordinary human being who was both God and man. A mystery that our minds cannot fully understand. As we reflect this Christmas, as we reflect on the fact that Jesus came into this world because he loved us, he came to be one of us, he had all the same emotions, feelings that we go through, he showed us how to live a life above sin that entangles us, and then he created a means for us to actually live that life by being in a relationship with God the Father through what he did for us on the cross, by giving us his Holy Spirit in that relationship to indwell us and empower us to make the right choices instead of the wrong choices. Doesn't mean we'll always make the right choices, but we have the power to make the right choices now because of what God has done for us. Not something we've earned or decided that we would be good enough, because we can't. Only God could do that. So this little baby, this birth of a baby, changed everything, changed the whole way that God and his creation can relate together, opens up the possibility of an intimate relationship again with God, to walk in the garden with him through his Holy Spirit and the presence of Jesus in our lives. If you've never experienced that, Christmas is the best time to think about what that might mean, to understand that this baby came for you. Jesus came into this world for you. He was born so that you could come into a relationship with God. He lived and then he died and was raised again to make that reality a possibility. If you truly believe that Jesus was God, God's only Son, who loved you and came for you, and put your faith and trust in him and want to choose to follow him instead of following your own selfish ways, then God can open up into your life an amazing relationship, an intimate relationship with God that is open to everybody through what he has done for us by coming and being one of us. If you've never experienced that, if that's something that sort of seems like a dream for you, like, I wish I could have that sort of relationship, well, you can. And there's plenty of people here today who could share with you how that could happen. So if you're thinking, you know, I've been in and out of church, I come but I don't really get it, I don't really have it, I don't really experience what other people seem to experience when they talk about knowing Jesus. I know about him, I know the stories about him, I know about his birth, I know about his life, I know about his death, but it just doesn't change anything for me. Then talk to someone before you leave. And we could introduce you to Jesus today in an intimate and a personal way. And he could come into your life and change you forever. That baby could change your life forever. Will you let him? It's over to you. I want to pray. Lord, a baby changes everything. In our own lives, we've experienced that, those of us who are parents. Mary and Joseph experienced that. But this baby was different. This baby, Jesus, both God and man, in an amazing, miraculous, mysterious way, changed everything. Opened up a way for us to have again an intimate, personal relationship with God the Father. I pray you refresh and renew our relationship today, Lord. If we've already got that relationship, just remind us of how amazing that is, that we want to choose to live in it by the power of your Spirit. And for those who've never experienced that, may they perhaps just take one step closer to that today. Maybe talk more about it, maybe open up to somebody and pray together and receive Jesus in an intimate, personal way today. We ask you to work in our lives, Lord Jesus, that we would truly follow your example in the power of your Spirit. We ask it. Amen.